we thank you that he's a man after your heart. Lord, that he seeks your heart like David, that he wants to know your word for his life, for his family, for the church, for any particular situation. And Father, we pray right now that you would anoint him. And Lord, as he brings forth this word, that we would be changed, that we would be challenged, and that we would know you in greater depth, Lord, through this encouraging word. Now, Father, we lift our brother up. Move upon him. Let the Spirit of God speak freely through him today and touch our hearts. But we prepare ourselves to receive this word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, I know you guys are probably tired of hearing me say this every time I come up here, but it is truly a blessing and an honor to be able to stand up here and share our Father's word. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I look at you guys as my true family. I really do. Here's the Holy Spirit working already. This ain't even in my notes. It's coming. So I wanted to say I love my brother. My brother lives in Arizona, and he came here for a little bit. He was having trouble with his marriage, and we got him to come out to the church, and he rededicated his life to the Lord. And a situation had arose where he wasn't doing something right. And I remember we tried to approach him with the Word of God, and he felt like he was being attacked. And he said, "Well, you're my brother." You know? And believe it or not, the Lord just put upon my heart, not that I don't love my brother, but I said, "You know what? You're my brother if you serve the Lord." Because, you know, even Jesus said, "Who's my brother? Who's my mother?" Right? Those who seek me and follow me are my brothers and sisters. And he couldn't comprehend that. I mean, I remember he was devastated. You know that old saying, blood is thicker than water? So he thought just because we were blood related that superseded God. But it doesn't. It really doesn't. You know, we taught at the home group, because I went off of Ed Trout, one of his messages. I actually didn't go off his message, but it was something he said in his message that really touched my heart, and it was about compromise. And so many times, we can allow that to come in, you know? And there's a perfect example. I mean, he's my brother. He was my older brother. He took care of me. You know, I mean, I did have a father, but I mean, you know how your older brother kind of looks out for you and stuff, you know? And, but I had to bring him the truth, right? I mean, when you give your life to Christ, you go by what this word says, because this word is the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. You know, it's not by just good deeds or being a good person. That's not good enough. You know, Jesus spelled it out for us in black and white and even in red, you know, about what we got to do. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me, you know. And so it was my obligation to tell my brother the truth so that he could be set free. You know, because I didn't want him thinking the way the world does. Amen? As Christians, we got to think the way God thinks. And it's totally different from the world, right? The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Yeah, in the world standards. But in God's standards, we're living it right. They're the ones that are peculiar. Amen? So, I don't know where that came from, but anyways. Our theme, like Pastor Don and Pastor John had said, has been about knowing God. We should all want to know our Father as much as possible, amen? I mean, can we ever get enough? No. The minute we think that we've arrived, we're in trouble. Trust me. We're constantly, constantly changing. The Bible tells us that every day, amen? We need to learn and get to understand His desires, His ways, His likes, and His dislikes. I want to know everything about my dad. You know what I'm saying? He created me. He has a will for me, a purpose for me. So I want to make sure that I'm getting it right. Amen? I don't want to be spinning my wheels for nothing. You know, time is short. Time is really short. I was telling my wife the other day, I says, you know what? Man, I got a birthday coming up. I'm getting old. Amen. She's like, what? I said, man, I'm old. She goes, how old are you going to be? I said, 54. She goes, oh, you got tons of years left. I'm like, what? I'm looking, I mean, not that I have a death wish, but I'm looking forward to when I'm done. Amen. I can be up in heaven. Where's Roger? I wish Roger was here. I'm going to go up there and say, hey, David, what's up, brother? If you know that personal joke, I'm always talking about David. I love David. And Roger gets tired of hearing it at the home group. And he's always, every time I message David, he's just like, what about Job? What about somebody else? You know? But it's just like, I look at David's life and it kind of reminds me of my own, you know? I don't always get it right, but I'm quick to repent. Amen? So, anyways, I want to know what I want to find out for my life what he has in store for me. Amen? I want to be doing what the Lord has called me to do. You know? I look at today. You know, in the flesh, and I'll be honest with you guys, in the flesh, and Marty, I just want to thank you for that prayer this morning, brother. In the flesh, we don't want to do what God has called us to do, do we? Really? I mean, we can be honest. You know? Maybe not all the time. I won't say that we don't want to do it, but not all the time. You know? Like, there might be, for the guys, a football game or something on TV. And you might have a brother that calls you that's in need. You know, and the ball's like on the 1 yard line, fourth and goal. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Matt, don't answer that, brother, right? Especially if it's Michigan against Ohio State. Don't answer that. Can you hold on just a second? No, but I mean, this flesh does not want to do what God wants it to do. It's the spirit within us that wants the things of the Lord. Amen? That's why we got to be careful about what we feed this flesh. Because trust me, if we feed it the world, what's going to come out? What's going to show? The world. But if we seek God's word out, if we intertwine with his people, we pray to him, if we worship him, we're going to bring out the attributes of God. Amen? You know, as an elder of this church, and I've said this at the home group many a times, I feel that one of my purposes, just one of my purposes here on this earth, is to help you guys, my family, to be all that you can be in Christ. And whatever that entails, whether it entails me praying for you, helping you physically, spiritually, financially, whatever the case may be, I just want to be obedient to Christ. Amen. You know, when Jesus came here, he said, I came to serve, not to be served. Amen? We need that kind of mentality. We want to be servants for Christ. But that's not an easy thing. In order for that to start taking place, one of the things we need is faith. Think about that, faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now basically that means it is the trust in God and in his promises as made through Jesus and the scriptures by which we are justified and saved. Amen? I've been seeking out the Lord for a couple of weeks now, and I feel in my spirit that the Lord said, as his people, we need to build up and strengthen our faith. So, I'm going to do something unorthodox. I'm going to ask a question. I'll start with our number one guy, Pastor John. Pastor John, do you believe in the Bible and everything that is written in it? Sir. Steve, do you?
Yes, sir.
And then, and before I go throughout the whole congregation, can we just believe as a whole by a show of hands? Do we all believe the Bible and everything that's in it? Amen. Well then, open up your book to John 14:12. And this is what the Lord impressed upon my heart. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus speaking, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So what was Jesus doing? Anybody? Everything. He was doing what? He was doing works. He was doing deeds. All in the name of who? His Father. His Father. He was doing works and deeds in the name of His Father. I mean, and I read, even as a child, do you remember that story when they went to Jerusalem? And then they I think of... And it actually happened to me, believe it or not, but I think of Joseph and Mary, you know. And I remember, I think Pastor John or somebody taught on this, like when they went with like a big caravan, you know. So they had other relatives with them and stuff, and they went for the Passover feast, and then they left. And it was like 2 days later, the Bible says, that they realized like, hey, where's Jesus? Oh, I thought you had him. Where's Jesus? They left their son behind for 2 days. Now, when I wrote that down, it brought back a memory for me in my life. My wife and I had went to Arizona to visit my family. My brother and sister live there. And we went to my brother's house, and, you know, I had taken all my kids. So all of us were there, had a barbecue, you know, had a good time. We all piled into cars, and we're driving back to my sister's house because we were staying at her house. And her husband, Paul, he come up flying up behind me, beeping his horn, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, what the heck? I look over, like, I'm waving. Then he goes, and Joseph was in his car. I'm like, oh, we forgot little Joe. I'm looking at Donna. I'm like, how could you? She was like, what about you? So I could see how it could happen. You know, that was only like 15 of us. I would imagine in that time they had a lot more than that. But anyways, when they found him, what was he doing? He was in the synagogue, right? And basically, we've all been led to believe that he was basically saying, why are you looking for me? You should know that I was about my Father's business. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be about our Father's business. Because I'm telling you, I'm thinking I'm old, 54 years old. I'm trying not to, Bob, but I'm getting like a magnet. I'm not ancient, but I'm getting there. You know? But life is short. Life is short. And I'm going to tell you something. Ed Trout mentioned this. Pastor John's always mentioning this. One day, and we never know when the time or the hour, we're all going to stand before the Lord. Amen? And my prayer is that hopefully he's going to say to all of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? That's why we need to be about our Father's business. Okay? James 2, 14 to 26. Now bear with me because this is a long one. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, let me repeat that. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. I love this line. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And this is awesome right here. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not just by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I mean, I read that, and I mean, if I were illiterate, I mean, that is so plain to know that God wants us moving in the faith, not just sitting. I mean, can you imagine that? And I pictured this in my mind. Can you imagine if every single Sunday, we came into church, sat in our pew, God is good. Amen. Put my tie, get a donut. Bye. I believe in God. To me, that reminds me of that what James was saying. Hey, even the demons know that. But at least they shudder before the Lord. I mean, really? How could the church move like that? Just by saying we believe in God. That's nothing. I mean, Jesus was constantly betraying the Lord, was he not? But was he ever just sitting idle? No. He was always in action, always doing something. And when we see stuff like that, tell me, does it not build our faith? Does it not? I was sharing with the guys, the ushers this morning, the first time I came up here to speak, I about had a heart attack. I mean, I was so nervous. My heart was pounding out of my chest, you know. I didn't even get a minute into the sermon. I couldn't even speak because my tongue actually stuck to the roof of my mouth. My mouth was so dry. Thank God for Alma that she saw me. She brought me a glass of water. I couldn't have went on. But anyways, by faith, see, that was an action. Well, to tell you the truth, actually, that was a command. Pastor Don, I probably didn't share that story. A couple weeks prior to that day, Pastor Don had called me. I guess he was going out of town or something, and he said, Eddie, I need you to teach the morning class. Pastor Don, man, really? He goes, yeah, I want you to teach the morning class. Do about a half an hour. You know, you eat breakfast, you get a free breakfast, do the class, be on your way. And how do you know that flesh wasn't rising up? Well, I was like, Pastor Don, I don't even go to the breakfast. How would that look that I'm just all of a sudden going to show up and give a teaching? He goes, brother, I want you there. So wouldn't you know that whole week prior to him leaving, I was dodging him like a bullet. Call me in, like, erase it. You know? The day before he was going to leave, and this is the way God works, the day before he was going to leave, I'm about my own business, I just left my house, I'm going down Allen Road, I'm getting ready to turn onto Outer Drive, and you know how those cars turn at the last second from Outer Drive onto Allen Road? I'm just sitting there listening to music, I look up, and here comes Pastor Don turning. I guess he was coming to the church. And you know in those movies, how there's a bunch of action, and all of a sudden it slows down, and you're like... Well, let me tell you something. We locked eyes. And you know when you lock eyes. Like, you want to move, and you can't. You're like... We locked eyeballs. And Pastor Don was like... And I was like... See, that was God confirming that, hey. But wouldn't you know, my flesh won the battle. I didn't show up. Yeah, that's right. I didn't show up. I don't know if it was the fear that got to me or the fear of my flesh or whatever the case is. I just didn't show up. And I think it was Steve. It might have been Steve and Brian Zaker. They called Pastor Don. He was at the airport. They're like, Pastor Don, ain't nobody here. He's like, what? Isn't Eddie there? No. And you know Steve. Steve is just, hold on, I just happened to have a teaching ready. Steve's always got one. So I think Steve taught that morning class or whatever. Well, Pastor Don was gone like for a week, and that whole week, oh, I felt horrible. God was just, how could you? How could you? I couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't take it anymore. I told Don, I says, I got to go see Pastor Don. I got to repent. I got to get this off of me. I feel horrible. I feel horrible. So sure enough, I must have took a day off or something because he was here in the afternoon. I went in there. I think at that time Sharon was the secretary, and I had to talk to Pastor Don. He asked Sharon if she could leave. I think she was going to lunch anyway, and I sat in there, and I just repented. I about bawled my eyes out. You know, I feel bad. I let you down, you know, but I succumbed to this fear and this and that. And you know Pastor Don, he's just sitting there smiling. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like pouring it on thick, man, crying. Can you forgive me? Sure, brother. I can forgive you, brother. And I'm like, the weight of the world is off my heart. Amen. But if you know Pastor Don, you know in the cartoons how you see like a little boulder coming and you go, whoo! And you're like, phew! And you turn around, there's a giant one that just smashes you. Well, see, I thought I avoided that rock, you know. Like, that wasn't too bad, you know. Cried my eyeballs out, repented. It was just him and I, you know, it's cool. He goes, no, that's good. I'm glad you're repenting. You got your heart right, right? Yes. You love God, right? Yes, yes, I do, brother. Give it to me, brother. All right, you're going to preach next Sunday. I'm like, huh? Oh, the Sunday morning? No. No, you're going to preach. I'm like, out there? Oh, you love God, brother. You repented. You're going to get it right. I'm like, oh, my Lord, what did I do? You know? So, trust me, I had to have faith there. But it went well. At least I was told. And here I am today. Amen? Amen. I got to say, I do feel a lot more comfortable up here today. But back to the word. I don't know why I keep getting off on those tangents. But anyways, as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We want to be walking in God's will for our lives, don't we? Amen? He requires us to do works in his name with faith, believing that he will do it. And as we see the works and needs being met in our lives as well as others, our faith begins to be built up. And that's what I was saying. That's where that story led. I was wondering why I went to that story. It started to build my faith that I can do the things that God wants me to do. Amen? If he requires me to speak, I will. If he requires me to lay down my life, I will. You know, whatever the case is, I want to do that. I want to be in his will for my life. Now, the funny thing about this whole teaching, because Pastor John came up here, because I had told Pastor John I was originally going to preach on something else. He's like, oh, yeah, that's good, that's good. And he was up here looking at my notes, and he goes, oh, you changed? I go, yeah, the Lord does that sometimes. But ironically, like he was mentioning the men's meetings on Tuesday, and I was hoping Steve was going to be here because I'm going to mention him a little later, but we were doing the Tuesday night meetings, and Steve and I went first and taught what we were teaching on. And because I was all focused on this teaching, I had totally forgot the rest of the men's teachings. Well, I go last Tuesday, and Bob and Ray Silva were teaching, and they were teaching on faith. And I go, ah, oh, I forgot you guys were teaching on faith. And Bob goes, that's all right, brother, it's confirmation. Well, I'm here to say you're right, Bob, because a couple of things that you guys had said had really ministered to my heart, and I felt led to share them here with the church. Bob had quoted that, and we're talking about doing works in faith, amen, that he brought up the example of Peter. Bob said, Peter didn't walk on water until he stepped out of the boat. Amen? So what did that require? That required Peter to move in action, didn't it? The Lord was out there and he said, come. Well, you got to make an effort to get out of the boat, don't you? You see, we got to do works to build our faith. And then I wanted to mention real quick about my wife. And for all of you that know, or those that you don't know, she has MS. She was diagnosed with it back in 07, 05. And it's a disease that messes with her nerves and stuff. And so sometimes she can't walk, or, you know, she just can't function well. She gets tired a lot. Well, she knows, and I believe her because I know she hears from God, that she is going to be healed. One day the Lord's going to heal her, amen? And we believe that. But we also know that it's in God's timing, amen? And I just want to say that there's a lot of times, there's some days where she does great, and there's other days where she does bad. And during those hard times, because she went through a stretch where she was doing not good for a while, and she's crying, and she's telling me, Eddie, I hate to say this, but sometimes I just feel like giving up, you know? And she was getting into a state where she wasn't doing real good, she was being introverted. And I know Raquel and a couple other sisters came over to minister to her, and I appreciate you for that. And they ministered to my wife, and it helped her to like get out of that funk, you know what I mean? And I'm here to say that to this day, even on the days where she doesn't feel good or the days she does feel good, she's always pushing on to do works for the Lord, you know? And she claims that. She claims that. She says, if this is the way the Lord is going to have me for now, it's not going to stop me from doing what the Lord has called me to do. Amen? And see, we got to have that same kind of mentality. Because the fact of the matter is, we may not have a disease. Well, I got a disease sometimes. It's called L-A-Z-Y. You know that disease? Sometimes we get lazy, we don't, you know, but I'm just saying, we can't let anything affect our will to do God's will. Amen? Ray Silva also had a quote that night that really touched me too. He said, our faith is in God, not if God. Wow, I thought about that. I go, wow. Man, think about that. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian. Young Christian. I mean, I think I had just gotten saved. And I know some of you believe this like me. There was times in that young Christian walk where I used to try and bargain with God. You know? Well, God, if you do this and give me that, then I'll do this, this, and this. Do you remember those days? I do. I remember those days where you're trying to bargain with the Lord. Well, if you do this and give me that, then I'll serve you every day. Or I'll read your word every day. Or I'll do this, or I'll do that. Only if. Only if. You know, now that I'm older, more mature in the Lord, I mean, how could I have done that? You know what I mean? Who are we to bargain with God? You know? He's only doing the best for us. Yet we're going to try and sit here and try and decide what's good for us and what isn't. Right? What am I called to and what I'm not? You know, I think of the missions trips when I really wanted to go. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to go, and I succumbed to that fear. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, that was like an abomination to the Lord. It's like, you know, His Word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, and I think of those scriptures now, you know. If He's for us, who could be against us? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's the Lord speaking. And we know that the Lord speaks truth. But we allow ourselves to be taken back. Amen? So one of the things to stop us from doing that is building our faith. We've got to build our faith. Remember the old cliche, the frozen chosen? You remember that? The frozen chosen? It's just not enough, church, to simply have faith in God all by itself. James said that the demons believe in him too, and that they shudder. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks on faith. We can see plenty of saints that had great faith through doing works. And I'm just going to name a couple. Abraham. I think of Abraham. Man. I've read that story probably a dozen times, but you never really like sit down and just imagine it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just read it and I comprehend it. But to actually sit there and then go through it like a video, you know? I mean, this man had money. This guy was well off. And so I try and compare that time to this time. Think of like maybe a guy, something like Bill Gates, with all that money he's got. And can you imagine God told him, go. Leave this and go. And Abraham said, okay. Really? He didn't even know where he was going, but he just went. Tell me that doesn't take some great faith. But he did it, see? He was doing the work. He did it. And then to talk about his son, here God had given him this son. That was a miracle in itself because they were old in age. And I don't know how old he was, but I would imagine he spent some time with them. You know, you're loving on them. You know, I get my granddaughter, my second newest granddaughter, Courtney, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And man, I just love her. I mean, I'm just all over her. You know, I only give her to Donna when she poops. But other than that, she's mine. But can you imagine? I mean, he finally had a son, a child, through his wife, Sarah. And then the Lord said, I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, I like to speak out to the mothers here because I know how you moms are. You're like doggone grizzly bears when it comes to your children. Grizzly bears. And you know you don't mess with a cub when it's by his mama. Because that mama will rip you to shreds. Well, I see a lot of grizzly bears out here. But can you imagine? He said, sacrifice him to me. What faith that took. Amen? Because he was to the point where he had that knife like this before the angel grabbed him. But I thought to myself, man, how did he have that such great faith? And I believe that the Holy Spirit revealed it to me that Abraham's faith was so great in God that he thought to himself, if I sacrifice him, what's to say the Lord couldn't give him back to me?
That's right.
Wow. Man, think about that. What great faith. Moses. What about Moses? He couldn't even speak well. But he led all those people out of bondage. Daniel. In the lion's den. Oh, that took some faith, let me tell you. And then my favorite, David, against the giant. Joshua led the people in the promised land and was there to bring down the walls of Jericho. Well, the Lord, but he was there. Can we go back to John 14:12 again? I'm going to read that one more time. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. You know, again, you think of the times in the Bible and try and relate them to our times today. I don't see us marching around a camp or a city with these tall walls for 7 days and then blow the trumpets and see the walls come tumbling down. But when you think of our lives today, do we sometimes have walls that we feel we can't conquer? Or my favorite, David. I mean, Goliath was said to be, what, 9-10 feet tall? I mean, I would hope, brother, that I don't run into a guy that's 9 or 10 feet tall that wants to kill me. But we look at some of our issues or some of our problems, and don't they seem like giants to us? Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is a God-given gift. What will you do with that gift? Knowing who you are in Christ, I hope and I pray that you would use it to the fullest measure. Amen. We all need great faith. We all need great faith. I mean, I could probably sit here for the most part, and each one of you could probably share a story where you had to have great faith. Amen. And I think of, Steve and I did the teaching on running into battle. You know, Bob said, you can use anybody you want in the church, brother. You know, you're going first, and your topic is running into battle. And I thought, where's Steve's number? I got to call Steve. Running into battle? I might not even have to speak. And then I decided, yeah, I better go first. You know, I wanted to get my 5 minutes in before Steve took an hour. I was in the back going, no, but it's a blessing to teach with him, because I just know that he has great faith and he loves God with all his heart. Well, in order for that to take place, in order to have the fullest measure of faith, we have to be about our Father's business. We need to know more. We need to be more like Jesus and start doing works for the kingdom. We don't need pew sitters. We really don't. What we need, I mean, I've always said this before. What army is effective if it's idle? Nothing. Nothing. It does nothing. I mean, even if you're going to defend something, you got to move, don't you? You ain't just going to sit there and get shot. You got to move. Could I have the prayer team come up? I want to read this quote that I found on the internet. It's by George Muller. And he said, to learn strong faith is to do many works and endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testings. You know, gaining our faith isn't always going to be an easy thing. God is going to stretch us. He's going to use us in the most unique, sometimes fearful ways. But when you get in that position where you're not sure that you could do it, or you get nervous about what the outcome may be, you just got to remember those scriptures that minister to your heart, that build your faith. Greater is he that is in me than whatever I'm facing. Amen? No weapon, nothing the enemy or my flesh can throw at me will prosper against my spirit. Starting today, church, we can make that difference. We can come up for prayer and ask God to use us more than what we have been. We don't want to fall into that frozen, chosen trap, because that's not what God's looking for. You know, one thing that was ironic, and I'm going to go back to David again. Here he was, a boy, a shepherd boy. And he was standing amongst all the army of Israel. Right? And Goliath was sitting there for days, wasn't it? What was it, 40 days? Calling them out. Just calling them out. You sissies, you cowards. Not one of them had enough faith to know that their country, Israel, was God's people. Not one of them. Not even Saul himself. because Steve was preaching that to me. Saul himself should have been up there. Instead, he tried to give David his armor. You see what I'm saying? He was the king. He should have went out there to meet that Philistine, because that was supposedly their champion. Well, they were looking at Saul as our champion. He was the king of Israel, God's anointed king. Not even he had enough faith. But here was David. And the ironic thing was, it wasn't that he was timid that when he went to face Goliath. It says that he ran to meet Goliath. I mean, I must think to myself that that might have taken Goliath by surprise. You know, thinking this little shepherd boy's coming with a sling, maybe a shepherd's staff or something, like, really? And all of a sudden, he's just running right after him, like bull rushing him. But the fact of the matter is, David's faith was so strong. And we see earlier in his life that God had prepared him for that battle when he fought the lion and the bear. It prepared him for the day such as this. And so when we look at our faith and we see the works that we have to do, those things that God brings into our life is to build us up for something bigger and greater that we're going to need that faith to have victory in. Amen? So, with that being said, I just pray, my prayer for you guys is that you would pray that God would use you more. Get you busy for the kingdom. Remember, an idle army does no good. But an army like David, where your faith is built and you're willing to run and conquer the enemy, or conquer that giant, or conquer that wall in your life, it will do nothing but good for you, because it's going to build your faith. It's going to draw you closer to God. You're going to know God more. Amen?